Text for our sermon, our gospel reading, that great transfiguration text from Matthew 17, especially these words. When he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice in the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." So far, text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Listen to him. Disciples had not had a great track record of listening to Jesus. As we've heard through our Epiphany season, Jesus giving that Sermon on the Mount, reminding them to repent and turn to him, the very kingdom of God. Disciples had not been doing that. After all, they thought they knew what was best for God and how Jesus should work. Jesus, why are you hiding yourself here? Go out and heal some more. Jesus, why don't we go to Jerusalem and you can be king of Israel there? They thought they knew, but they had not listened to Jesus. An ongoing theme in Scripture, isn't it? The Father demands people listen to his Son, and so often people don't. We see that in our Old Testament reading from Exodus 24. It's a great text. It's an unusual text where the 70 elders, along with Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu, go up on the mountain. They eat and drink with God. What a thing to do. And then Moses receives the Ten Commandments. Listen to God. In those simple Ten Commandments, God gives his people direction for their lives, that they would listen, not just hearing, but obeying and doing. Of course, you know how that played out. They didn't listen. As Moses came off that mountain, the people had broken the first commandment, making a golden calf. Throughout their time in the wilderness, they broke every commandment that God had given them, so often rejecting God and Moses and God's way. Nothing changed, did it, when they got to the promised land under Joshua, under the judges? Still, God gave them judges to call them back to repentance, that they would hear God's voice and listen. During the time of the kings, things didn't get any better either. Still, God's law was in effect, and even the kings themselves so often broke God's law, even the greatest king of all, David. Now think about the census he took in Bathsheba. David wasn't exactly holy. God still demanded that his people listen to him. And still God demands that exact same thing from his people today, that we would listen to him. For God gives the law for our benefit. It shows who God is and who we are to be. We should listen to God's law and curb our behavior to obey. We should listen to God. But with every sin, we prove that we do not. As we put something before God, well, we break that first commandment. As we say the wrong things, we break that second commandment. As we don't honor preaching and his word, we break that third commandment. As we despise authority or parents, we break that fourth. As we slander or hate our brother in our heart, we break number five. As we lust, we break number six. You see the way we are, don't you? You see the way you are. That's the way of the law. It has no end. The law never says, well, you did this good. Way to go. The law never says that. The law demands complete perfection of all of your thoughts, all of the inclinations of your heart, and all of your actions. Everything you think and feel and say and do must be perfect all the time, continually. Listen to Him. That's what God demands of His people, of you. And there is no other way to everlasting life than to obey the law perfectly. It's a problem for us, sinners, because we do not obey the law perfectly. Try as we might to get rid of this sin or that sin, and perhaps sometimes we succeed in putting down this or that sin, but still another crops up so quickly. We are by nature sinful and unclean before God. There's nothing we can do or offer or say or pray to give back to God to make up for our sins. The way of the law is severe and impossible for us to follow. Listen to Him. When God gives the law and we listen, we acknowledge who we are, that we do not measure up. But here, in this text, the way of the law ends. Did you see it? There is an end to the law, as unbelievable, as incomprehensible as that could be. There is a way to end the law, not in us, not by what we do, but there we have it in our transfiguration text. After Jesus ascends that high mountain with Peter, James, and John, after He is transfigured and shining like lightning, after Moses and Elijah are speaking with Jesus, and the Father's voice booms as the cloud envelops them, after all of that, we are shown the end of the law once and for all. Jesus only. That's it. That's the whole point of transfiguration. Jesus only. It's not us. It's not Peter or James or John or Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah point to Jesus as the Christ. For one like Moses would come, and the Elijah must come before the great and awesome day of the Lord. That day, the transfiguration is coming soon, but not yet. The cloud reminds them of the theophanies in the Old Testament, and the Father says, listen to His Son. They weren't. For in the previous section in Matthew 16, Jesus had told them very clearly how He must be rejected by the chief priests and elders of the people, how He must suffer, how He must die. And those disciples refused to hear it. Far be it from you, Lord, said Peter. And you remember what Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You have not the things of God in mind, but the things of man. The way to the law, the way to end the law, is in Jesus only. Jesus goes off of this mountaintop. He stops shining, the cloud goes away, the Father stops speaking. Moses and Elijah gone, they have just Jesus to go down into the valley and go up into Jerusalem. Just Jesus to ride into the city on Palm Sunday. Jesus only there before Pilate and Herod and Pilate again. Jesus only being scourged and whipped and beaten by the soldiers. Jesus only crowned and robed and mocked. Jesus only hanging there upon the tree. That's it. That's the end of the law, right there. Jesus only. There is the transfiguration on that dark Good Friday as Jesus is transfigured into our sins. The Father says nothing. There is no cloud, no Moses or Elijah, but there God dies for you. There the law ends. All of its righteous and just demands, Jesus takes all your sins from you and pays the full price for them, that you, sinner, would be forgiven, washed clean through baptism, that you, a sinner, would ascend into the highest heavens to eat with God, not up there, but here. You have a better meal than Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu in the 70. You have God given for you for the forgiveness of your sins. The law's accusations would end and stop. That's what transfiguration is all about. The way of the law ending there at Jesus. That your sins would be forgiven through his death upon the tree. And that you would receive life eternal, not because you have kept the law, but because Jesus has died for you and forgives you all your sins. In his name, amen.